It's never too late. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. It is never too late. Now, Ingeborg mentioned that some people forgot to prepare the stuff that I wanted and liked specially, and perhaps it's true and perhaps it's not. When Ellen was setting up the menu for Thanksgiving dinner, she said, "What should we have?" And I said, "Well, turkey is always good." And I said, "What's better yet would be a nice ham, and a nice roast ham with all the special sauce on it and all that other good stuff, you know, would really be good." And Ellen says, "Oh, that's a good idea." So we went into Harvest Ranch and we smelled the ham, and it looked so good and smelled so good. We said, "That's the type of thing we want to do." So Sylvie went in town and bought the ham, and it was just lovely. Well, as we were sitting around the luncheon table without having our big meal, we were holding that for the evening, we were talking about ham and turkey and Thanksgiving and so forth.
The missed one.
and I mentioned that I love the turkey leg. I just and my Thanksgivings are just made when I have the turkey leg. And I love the turkey leg, and I love it so much. And so Ellen says, "Well, what shall I do?" And I said, "I don't know. Maybe run over to the convenience store there and see if they have any turkey legs for sale, you know. or go to the restaurant and see if you can buy a turkey leg dinner, you know, and bring it home." And so Ellen, and this was like maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 4:30, Ellen very dutifully hopped on her blue chariot and flew 5 miles to the diner and said to the people in the diner, "Are you open?" And the sign on the door said, "We are closed." And the door was locked. But she knocked anyhow because she saw lights and people in there. So someone came to the door, and just a teeny little bit they looked out, and they said, "We're closed. This is a family affair." And so Ellen said, "But I wanted to buy a turkey leg. I'm having ham and so forth for my family, but one of my family wants a turkey leg, and I didn't have it. Can I buy a turkey leg?" And they said, "Just a minute." So they went inside and checked, and then they came back out and they said, "It'd be just a couple of minutes, you know. We made a couple of turkeys and we got an extra turkey leg." And so they not only brought out the turkey leg, but they brought out the shank with it, you know. What a beautiful chunk of meat. And they gave it to her, and she said, "Oh, this is so wonderful." It was all wrapped up and all ready to go. And she says, "What do I owe you?" And they said, "Happy Thanksgiving." And Ellen just about fell over on her backside, thinking, "How wonderful, and thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you," you know. And Ellen is not accustomed to practicing what I tell her to do. And I tell Ellen, we had a teacher a number of years ago, and the teacher says, "Ask and you shall receive, knock and it will be opened unto you," and so forth. And so Ellen went to the restaurant, which was closed. And I mean, any self-respecting, intelligent person wouldn't knock on the door of a closed restaurant, you know. But she saw bodies in there, so she knocked. And she asked, and she received. And she was so delighted. And not only that, the turkey leg was succulent and good. It was about the nicest turkey leg that you could ever want. And so Ellen's going to go back and
buy another one
and
cook one for us.
Yeah, and compliment them and tell them we are so grateful for that. But you see, in this life, the things that run the world and that run our life are always very simple things, and we want to make them difficult. Ellen went up there and said, "I want to buy it. I need it for my Thanksgiving, and I'll buy it. Is there anything I can do? You know?" And if she had just said, I would like to get a turkey leg, and I'm sorry that you're closed, but do you have any on the grill that could go? And but she was ready to buy it. She was ready to do whatever was a noble, right thing to do. I remember the story of Jesus. Do you remember? Jesus was on the mountainside, and he had these 5,000 people hanging around, hungry as tigers. And he said to the people, said, we're hungry, we're hungry. And so a little boy had some fish in his basket, a couple of pieces of fish. And so they went around, they collected what food they could. And they got a couple pieces of bread, a couple pieces of fish. And Jesus blessed the fish and the bread. And he said, now go out and serve them all that they want. And so the disciples went out serving the people, the 5,000 people. That's quite a crowd, you know. And serving all these people and making sure they all had plenty to eat. And when the disciples came back with their baskets, they were still full. And Jesus said, you see, if you ask, you shall receive. If you knock, it'll be opened unto you. If you seek, you shall find. And he tried to give lessons and demonstrations like this to the disciples, but the disciples didn't want to believe it. They said, Jesus, you did it. You're special. You got some special power. You got some special genius about you. You got some special wisdom about you that lets you do these things. You know, we can't do this. And Jesus said, the things that you do are so fantastic, they'll be greater than anything that I have ever done. You watch and see. And the disciples went out and did that. But what about you and us? You and me. Well, are we ready to go out and demonstrate these principles that we're learning about? Are we ready to demonstrate the principles that we call our Thanksgiving? The things that we're giving thanks for? And I say, generally speaking, no. Generally speaking, no. Why is it that people like yoga? They like yoga so much because it is such a convoluted activity. You got to get your legs in the lotus position, you got to sit upright, and you got to pay attention. And that's not the truth. If that were the truth, Jesus would have fired all of his disciples. Because they fell asleep while they were supposed to be awake, and they didn't believe when they were supposed to believe. And he just knew that sooner or later they'd catch on. And it wasn't his responsibility to make sure they got the message. It was only his responsibility to give the message. And so it is with us here in the Absolute Monastery and God Unlimited University of Healing. It's only our responsibility to give the message, to live it, and share it. But whether anyone picks it up or not is unimportant. I tell people, please, just say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, and don't let any other thought enter your mind, and you will be whole and perfect, because you already are. You will experience it, you'll reveal it to yourself, because you already are. But people don't want to do that, it's too easy. I'm whole and perfect, that's all I got to say. Well, what have you been saying? I'm sick? You've been saying I'm not good? And now it's time to say I'm whole and perfect. Watch the miracles take place. And this is not unusual, even with our own staff here. Because we get so wound up with the world around us, with the hurricanes and the floods and the tornadoes I had my nephew call send me an email from Wilmington, Delaware. And he says, how are the floods out there in California? Are they getting to you at all? Gee, there's too much rain sometimes, you know, too little or too much. And we don't have any problem here. We live up on the mountaintop. We have a lovely 104 acres here. And we are well-drained, sloped property so that the water doesn't do any damages. Oh, it messes up our road a little bit. But we have our tractor and one go over with the tractor and everything's back in shape again. No big deal. And we even go out and do the main roads that surround our property, making it available for other people, and go all the way up to the mailbox and make sure that all the ruts are filled in, like that's quite a distance. Now, why do we do that? Why do we do that? We like everyone to see our area as beautiful and complete and perfect and good. And if there's any imperfections here, we smooth them over and we straighten them out, because they're little ones. Now, if we let the imperfections grow to be big ones, then we'll have a great deal more work to do. A great deal more work to do. We had the roofing on this house. We had a number of windstorms that blew off a few sheets here and a few sheets there. We put it back and put it back, and we didn't have any problem. The roof didn't leak or anything, but it became aware to us that it was time to put a new roof on, because the old roof had been replaced so many times. It was time to put a new roof on that was secure and solid. And so we had the roofers come out, and they said, "Yes, sir, we can do it immediately." And so they ripped off the roof, and then we didn't see them for about a week. And during that week, it rained and rained and rained. And we surrounded our roof with our pure white light of love. We surrounded our house with our pure white light of love. We surrounded our property with our pure white light of love, which we always do. Not that we were trying to protect it against the rain. We just surrounded it with a pure white light of love, that all its paths were peace and all its ways were pleasantness. And not a drop of rain came through the roofless garage, the roofless house. All we had was that tar paper on there that goes underneath the roofing paper. And that's just the way it goes. When you are in charge, I'm whole and perfect. I surround my life, my world, myself with my pure white light of light, love. Everything works out perfectly. But you don't have to believe it. You just say it and know it. To believe it means that you're going against something. Well, we weren't going against anything. The roof of this house just doesn't leak. It just doesn't leak. Other houses have leaked, but that's because we had not lived in them and had not put our consciousness in them. But the minute they leaked, we fixed the leak, and then we put our consciousness in. We surround that house with our pure white light of love. And so it is. And so it is with the rains. We delight in the rains, and we like a gentle, soft, pattering rain that can soak into the ground and be beautiful and make everything grow so lovely around here. And that's just the way we do it. Now, are you that way? Is this your world? Are you in charge of your world? Or are you going to say, "Oh, darn, you know, I stubbed my toe"? Or are you going to say, I'm home perked, and know it? Are you going to get a call from a relative who's in the hospital and say, "Oh dear, Herb, work with me. It's my uncle, my brother, my sister, my mother, my father. They're in the hospital." And I say, "Hey, don't bother me with such nonsense." You say, "Well, that's not very nice of you." And I say, "Tell me what you want." "Well, I want them to be whole and perfect." "Well, then say it. They're whole and perfect. They're whole and perfect." Don't go around saying, "Oh, they got this, they got that, they got the other thing, and all sorts of stuff is going on." No way. No way. We have read garbage published by various publications, which think they're so smart, telling us how many people die in the hospitals and how many people have this and that and the other thing and so forth. And how stupid. How stupid. Let's put the cause in motion that people live in the hospital. Not that they live there, but they go to the hospital and they live. They go to the hospital and they have their little whatsoever's mended, and all is in divine order. And the doctors are divinely guided to do all the things that you think should be done, your perfect health. The nurses are divinely guided, and the hospitals are hygienically, absolutely not pure, because they have to be pure from something. But they are
perfect.
Perfect. They're perfect. They're without flaw. They're perfect. And without flaw doesn't sound good
divine
either.
Divine order.
Divine order. Thank you. You did learn something. Thank you. They're in divine order. Right?
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. By God, you do have a voice. Now, use it. come up with nice words like that. Is that true?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Are you true?
Yes.
Are you smart? Are you a genius?
Yes.
Wonderful. You too?
Yes.
You?
Yes.
My goodness. Rex, you a genius?
Yes.
Yep. We got him in there too. So now, let's realize that this Thanksgiving, we have so many things to be thankful for. But the most important thing that we have to be thankful for is that we are our own master, and we set the course for everything in our life by calling it forth as already revealed.
So it is.
And so it is. And I love you
eternally.